Calvary, it's good to be with you. Looking forward to sharing God's word with you. But before I do that, I just want to give a shout out to all the students, Midtown students who are coming back this week. Some of you I've seen already, and some of you are heading here in the next few days. I just want you to know that even with everything that's going on, we plan on connecting with you. We plan on reaching out to you. We'll figure out how to do things with masks. We'll figure out how to do things outside. But we want you to know we're praying for you. We love you. We believe that God is going to use you in a really, really powerful way, even in the midst of what's happening around us and in our city and in our university. This is the fifth message from the series Be Still, as Scott has already mentioned. And today I want to focus on, you know, how to activate and live by faith in a season of uncertainty. And so if you have a Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be starting in verse 1, and I'll get there in a second. But before I do that, I just want to share with you our primary verse that we're using during this series. It's from Psalms 46:10, and it says this. It says, "Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth." Now, the catchphrase for us, the catch-all for us, is the result, and that is that God would be exalted. It's easy for us to interpret this verse as primarily focusing on God's sovereignty and the work that he's supposed to do, and we can provide some misinterpretation and end up holding back. And so we need to see this verse as something that's proactive. It's something that God wants to really do through us and in us. And the reason I know this is because in Ephesians it says this. It says, "It is God's good and pleasing will for the church to fill everything in every way." And I'm reminded of this because right now I think we're all being confronted with our religiosity and a lack of zeal at times when we look at the landscape of our nation and the community that we're in. Yet I believe God has a plan to exalt himself now and actually through us. One phrase that I've been sharing a lot over the last 6 months is that I believe that God is advantageous. He creates leverage during seasons that we're in right now. And he asks us if that we will join with him by faith and see him move powerfully through our lives. Years ago, Bonnie and I had come to a crossroads in our faith journey. I mean, we were not really experiencing God the way that we thought we should. By all accounts, if you looked at us in the natural, I mean, we were a decent, you know, ministry couple. We were at church every Sunday. We were serving in different ministries. We were involved in all kinds of aspects of life groups. We were giving generously with our finances, and even sometimes we were actually preaching the gospel. Yet as I talked to her that night, we began to discuss, what do we really want our lives to look like? How do we want our life to move? Because there was not a lot of motion. There was a lot of doing what we were doing, but yet there was something that was still kind of a yearning in our heart that we knew that there had to be more than what we were experiencing. And so that night, my wife and I, laying in bed, we made an agreement, and this is what we decided we were going to do. We decided that we were going to live by radical faith, that we were going to honor the voice of God, and when Jesus spoke to us, no matter what the cost, we were going to honor it, and we were going to obey, and we were going to actually live by faith. And I want you to know that, you know, in that moment, I thought, yes, this is great. I'm on fire. I want to do this. But I can tell you, a month in, I was willing to go back and try to renegotiate with God. Things begin to happen that I didn't think, you know, were going to happen. And honest, I wanted to renege on my promise. There were challenges. God asked us to change our lifestyle. He asked us to give up certain dreams that we had about the future, specifically me and the ministry and the things I wanted to do, and it wasn't what I expected. And maybe you've experienced this yourself. Maybe you've actually held back because of what faith might look like for you. See, sometimes be still seems more like a place of having to hold on. It seems more like a holding cell for patience and perseverance and even long-suffering. Yet faith is experienced and expressed when opportunities like we are facing right now are taken advantage of. We talk a lot about surrender here at Calvary. Surrender is at the heart of faith. I genuinely believe that. Pastor Dan has mentioned that multiple times in sermons past and even in sermons in the last few weeks. See, surrender is not giving up. Surrender is actually giving in. Giving in to God's plans and purposes, and to see our life as a vehicle for Jesus to be exalted among our neighbors and our city and our community, right here even in our own church with our brothers and sisters. Hebrews chapter 11 says this. It defines faith like this. It says, faith is being sure of what we hope for, is being certain of what we do not see. The question I want to ask you today is, do you have faith? Are you living by faith? And if you are, what does that look like for you? Is your faith simply good works that are done in your own strength? Or is your faith perpetuated by something more? Something that God is doing deep down in your heart? That in this season you're wrestling with what you really believe about Jesus, what you really believe about the kingdom, what you really believe about who you are and who you should be. Are you shrinking back or are you moving forward? Are you passionate about what God is doing right now? Are you connecting with Him? Are you hearing His voice? For many, faith is simply about holding on. It's about holding on to what they have in fear of losing everything. It's about holding on to the past and, like the Israelites, wishing that they were back in Egypt. But our faith is to look towards the future. It's to look with the eyes of hope and the opportunity to take advantage of uncertainty, to take advantage of the times that we're in right now. See, we're called to live in the tensions of uncertainty because it drives us to the be still moments where our faith actually becomes a reality. That when we settle our hearts and we become dissatisfied and we realize that God has more, suddenly God begins to infuse us with a dream. He begins to infuse us with hope. He begins to speak deep into our hearts in that moment. And He says, I am going to make your faith real. I'm going to let you experience what I have for you and what I have for the world and even for the church. Now, I know that there's a lot happening. The variables are changing from day to day. But God is not moved by what we see. He's actually moved by our ability to walk in faith. First, individually, but eventually, corporately, we begin to move with God because God longs to be exalted. So what should we do? Do we keep waiting for, you know, better days or easier opportunities? I want you to know that the writer of chapter 11, he takes the next 11 verses to actually inspire you and I. He shares about our spiritual forefathers on journeys of faith, their own journeys of faith. He reminds us that we are not alone, and those who went before us were holding out hope, the same hope that we find in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. He tells the stories of men and women just like ourselves who chose to live in obedience to God's voice, and to not shrink back during trying and uncertain times. I love this. In the middle of telling all these stories, he stops and he takes a few minutes to preach to each of us. Because he knew that we would be coming after Jesus. He knew that once Jesus came, everything was going to change. Every hope had the potential to finally be fulfilled. Every dream, every purpose, every plan that God had for the earth and for the church could potentially be fulfilled if we would hold on, if we would lean in, and if we would hear God begin to speak to us. See, I think that when we hear God's voice, it causes us not to shrink back. It causes us to actually press in. When we go to God, when we become still, it's not so He can just comfort our fears, but it's so that He can give us faith to overcome them. I love that He preaches to us. And he says this. He says, all these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they would have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Here's where we realize this faith He describes is for this very moment. If you look at these verses in the context of where we're at right now in the world and in our city and in our nation, we can say that these verses belong to us. They are home actually to us. They were not only waiting for Jesus, but they were looking for us to come. The church, the spiritual Jerusalem, exhorted by Jesus himself, who would ask us to shine like a city on a hill, run into darkness with light, finding the lost sheep, healing the brokenhearted, and demonstrating the power of God, not just with words, but actual deeds. Not shrinking, not hiding, not waiting. See, faith is bound in the promise. It says that all these people died, but they were still believing what God had promised them. And now that promise belongs to us. That promise is the revelation of Jesus. The promise is also his incarnation demonstrated through us by faith today. We are able to hold the course because we see Jesus and we see what Jesus sees. We don't have to be spiritually blind. Our faith doesn't have to be hopeless. Our faith actually has eyes. There's no better time now than to live by faith. If you've never tried to live by faith, I want you to know that I believe that the Spirit of Jesus is longing for you to just say, you know what? I'm going to do what you tell me to do. And I believe that you will see God move powerfully. I believe that you'll see God do good things. There's no better time than now for Jesus to be revealed in us and through us. See, without the promise, something happens. We end up waiting in frustration instead of expectancy. If we don't really believe that Jesus is who we say he is, if Jesus isn't the central focus of all we say and do and how we live and what we breathe is God in Christ alone, then there will always be frustration. But when our hearts look to Jesus, when we see him with the fullness of who he is, suddenly faith begins to rise up inside of me. And without the promise, we live in fear instead of faith. See, faith embraces the uncertainty. Let me take a moment just to challenge you. Now, I'm not trying to pick a fight. That's not what I'm going to do when I say this. But, you know, here you go. Mass or no mass? Where are you at? What's that look like for you? Dan mentioned he hates being told what to do. He said, so he wears a mask because it's a way for him to submit and actually die to himself. Now, I'd say that I'm in that boat also, but I'll be honest, I vacillate pretty easily from one extreme to another. One minute I do it because I love my neighbor and I care for them, and the next moment I'm like that guy in Lowe's with the Harley Davidson shirt on with the American flag, just daring for someone to come up to him and say, put a mask on. I know we need to be wise. I know that as a gathering, as a movement of people, we're doing our best to try to hear from God and to actually have wisdom. And I think we're doing a pretty good job. But you have to ask yourself, is your wisdom moving you to live by faith? Because I do believe that sometimes wisdom is a mask for fear. Whether it's a mask or something else, we need to actually ask ourselves, are my choices empowering me to live by faith and prove the promise? I think because we understand what the promise is, you see the promise, you've heard the promise, maybe you've actually lived out the promise, faith creates longing. It says they were looking for a better place. They were looking for a heavenly homeland. Now, they're not longing for what they have or what they had, but they're longing for what's to come. See, the patriarchs had something that much of the church sometimes is missing, and that is an eternal perspective. We're so focused on the earth, we're so focused on now, we're so focused on the things that are happening around us that we forget that there is a heavenly action going on right now. Heaven is moving. The Spirit of God is moving in heaven. The Spirit of God wants to move on the earth. The Spirit of God wants to move in your life and move in my life and in the lives of people who don't even actually know him yet. We've asked ourselves this question for months. What in the world is God doing? I think we ought to be able to answer that question by now. Don't you agree? I mean, if you seem to be walking in complete ignorance, then there's a good chance maybe your focus isn't on eternity, but your focus is on what you see with your human eyes. See, we need to get above the noise. We need to push through the political and religious rhetoric and find our place in this world. We need to ask. We are to ask to operate from the be still place where faith erupts into God's kingdom coming to earth, where that which lays in ruins is rebuilt. And what was only seen from a distance suddenly becomes our actual reality. Are you looking for a better place? We must bring heaven to earth. Part of our legacy in this region is to leave this place better than what it was before we started. Last year, I did a study in Hebrews, and I wrote this down. I want to read it to you. It says this: There will always be a holy dissatisfaction with the temporal world we live in. We love the world like God loves the world because our faith longs to join with Christ and see the world know the same home that we actually long for. As we live and experience the kingdom and its king by faith, we see our citizenship with Jesus and where the world really belongs. The world belongs with us. The world belongs to Jesus. And he's speaking through the scriptures, and he's speaking to us to live by faith. Lastly, faith builds anew. It says, for he has prepared a city for them. What God is doing now, let me share this with you. What God is doing now, he couldn't have done before March 2020. He waited till March 2020. He waited till things began to unravel, till our nation began to tremble with fear. He waited until there was struggles. He waited until people who were not even thinking about God suddenly began to think about God. He waited for this moment. What he is doing in our hearts and our communities was never going to happen until he took advantage of March 2020. You've been asked to pray and love and serve your neighbor. We've been asking this for nearly 3 years now. And I just want you to know, honestly, the results have been limited. Some have bought into the vision and others are still struggling, and there are some who simply have just said, no, I don't want to do that. As I mentioned, some are fighting with all their might to hold on to the past and their old country, yet God has promised us a new one. Are you feeling uncomfortable, like you've lost your place? Well, let me encourage you. You are, and you have. Let me remind you what we believe here at Calvary and for our region. We're not going back. Let me say that again. We're not going back. So I think it'd be best if you just settled that in your heart now. I think it'd be best if you would take that Psalms 46:10 scripture and go spend some time with Jesus and let the Lord speak to your heart. Let him challenge you. Let him stretch you. Let him cause you to wrestle with him. Let the Holy Spirit begin to ask you, what do you really believe about what God is doing and who he is and what he is asking of you? May I suggest being still and waiting are miles apart in our faith experience. To say, let's wait and see what happens, may be the biggest stumbling block to our faith right now. Being still doesn't mean you wait. Being still means the Holy Spirit reveals to you the plans and purposes to exalt the King Jesus, that he might be known on the earth. Are you still looking back, still waiting for normal, still hoping for God to save without us having to join in? That's not the kind of still I'm looking for. I trust that it's not the kind of still you're looking for. I trust that what you're really looking for is a place where Jesus can live through you. A place where what you have experienced personally becomes the engine that drives you, leads you to love and to be passionate and to care about this world and what's happening around us. If you're still looking back, I encourage you, go to the scriptures. I mentioned the challenges Bonnie and I faced when we committed to live by faith. But here's what the Bible says. The only thing that pleases God is faith. And more than not wanting to miss something, we both wanted to please God. More than anything, we wanted to please this Jesus who had come to save us, who revealed himself to us, and the hope that we had found in him. And so we ended up keeping our commitment. And again, it was hard. And over the years, I want you to know, choosing to live by faith, I've known Jesus better than I would have if I would have stayed where I was. I have more joy in my salvation because I chose to follow God that way. And at the same time, I got to see God, and I'm still seeing God creating and doing miraculous events that none of us should miss because we've shrunk back. Faith doesn't shrink back in times of uncertainty. It steps into the mix. It finds its rightful place, and it reveals the Christ we know can save this world and even the church. God has been preparing us for this moment. Build the kingdom. Put your mask on and go across the street and serve and love your neighbor. Take your mask off and find a place where you can cry out to Jesus on behalf of your neighbors and our community and a nation and even the world. We must be a people of faith. We must be advantageous. As Psalm says, so God could be exalted in the nations and on the earth and in our lives, in our church, in our community, in our nation. Let me pray. Father, we stand in awe of the promises that we find in Scripture today, that you have given us everything we need in this moment to be well equipped to serve, to love, and to care. The longing of your heart is that we would simply believe that you are good and you have good things in store for us and for our world. And so we choose by faith tonight. We choose by faith to say, I'm going to obey. I'm going to be still, and I'm going to hear you speak, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure that Jesus is known through me and around me. In Jesus' name, amen.